This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you. Please open your King James Bibles to Judges chapter 17, verse 1, where we left off last time. Judges chapter 17, verse 1. Just before we begin, I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to come to my school every Thursday, or at least some Thursday, from 12 noon until 2 p.m. My twin friend Scott Merson meets me here. We open our heart and open the door, and we pray for you. For healing, deliverance, salvation, whatever. And sometimes the Holy Spirit sings a word of prophecy through me. Also come each Sunday, 5 p.m. for Anointed Word and Prayer, and Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. for Anointed Word and Prayer. And now, excuse me, Judges chapter 17, verse 1. I am entitling this tonight, Reform the Church. Paul tells us that these things happen to them in the Bible as an example for those of us at the end. That's 1 Corinthians 10:11. A few years ago, I had just completed teaching the book of Daniel on this same radio station. And shortly thereafter, the Lord spoke to me in an audible voice and said, "Reform the church." Yes, that's what he said. So I thought about reform. Jeremiah chapter 1 says the same thing. Tear down, pull up, root out, clean out. In other words, pull out the fables, pull out the lies, pull out the idols that are in the church, clean that out, and then sow and plant the true word of God. What is so beautiful about God, it's as though one of his beautiful scrolls flew through heaven, and I just happened to be here in Judges, this lesson tonight, 17, lesson today, chapter 17, and it tells us how to begin to reform the church. Now, last week we finished the great story of Samson and how Samson gave his life to save the Israelites. Now, that was the end of telling about the judges, but there were more judges. 1 Samuel tells us there was Eli and Samuel. These last five chapters of the book of Judges are so interesting. They're going to tell us what was going on with the children of Israel, God's people, when there was no judge in the land. The judge was a God-appointed man or woman, Deborah, Gideon, Jephthah, etc., Samson, who not only kept things in order, but helped everybody to stay on the straight and narrow and learn the word of God. But when there was no judge set up for them, they would easily go astray. This would be around 1440 B.C. So we're going to go back a little bit and see how these people handled the fact that they had no judge. I've learned in my ministry, I'll tell you, a sheep can be strong here on Sunday, and by Wednesday they've fallen apart. We all need somebody to help us stay on the straight and narrow, do we not? Okay, here we go, chapter 17.
Judges chapter 17, verse 1. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah.
His name was Micah. The word in the Hebrew means who is like God. Now, this is not Micah, the minor prophet. The minor prophet Micah was a great guy, and he didn't live several centuries later. So here is a man named Micah. Now, remember, we're talking about reforming the church. We're in a time when there was no judge. The children of Israel did love God. They didn't want to forsake God. And some of them are trying, but they've lost the word, and they don't know how to apply the word, so keep that in mind.
Verse 2, and he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee.
Now, you just read that. You say, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee. No, here's what Micah said. Mama, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you? Remember, these are real people.
About which thou cursest.
About which thou cursest. We're going to find out why he's upset.
And speak it also in mine ears.
And you speak it into my ear about these 1,100 shekels, and you curse the person who took them in my ear day and night, Mama.
Behold, the silver is with me.
I took them, so there. That's Micah. He tells his mother that. Now, how about that? Why is she so upset? I'll tell you in a moment.
And the mother said, "Blessed be thou the Lord, my son."
What a strange thing to say. She's not calling Michael the Lord. Now, she did think about God, because when she said Lord in the Hebrew, well, any time in the Bible you see L-O-R-D in capital letters, that's the covenant name of the Lord. It means Jesus, Yahweh. And so that means she did believe in God. Here's what she said. Oh, thank the Lord, you've answered my prayer. You see, you know your children. I counsel people. A lot of parents know their children are having sex out of wedlock. They know their children are doing drugs. They know their children are liars or thieves. This mother knew that her son Michael had stolen the 1,100 shekels. Isn't that interesting? That's the same amount of money that Delilah sold Samson down the river, isn't it? 11 is a number of judgment, and 1,100 is a defect in the administration. What it was, this mother knew that her son Micah had stolen that money from her. She put it in a place and only he knew about it. But she knew enough about God. They didn't have the temples and churches right then. They were between leaders, spiritual leaders. She did know that what he did was a sin, thou shalt not steal. And she knew that God would punish him. So she's trying to make a way to save her son from that sin. People are always trying to make up their own salvation. So she's saying, thank you, God. You got my son to give the money back. Now listen what else she told God so that her son would not be guilty.
Verse 3, and when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver unto his mother,
he handed it back to his mother.
His mother said unto him, I have wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son. To make a graven image, to make a molten image.
Son, what I did, I knew, son, that you had taken it. And I didn't want you to be punished by God, because I know, remember, one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. Now, she forgot the one about the graven image. See, a little learning is a dangerous thing, Alexander Pope said. That's what you taught, taking the Bible out of context. But they had bits and pieces of it. So she said, I told the Lord that if you would give the money back, that I would dedicate that silver to the Lord. I would give it back to you, son Micah, and you could make the Lord a graven image and a molten image. Then he would forgive your sins, and we would all be all right. She was trying to make her salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There is no other name given under heaven and earth whereby men might be saved. Jesus is the way. If you remember in Genesis 11, they tried to build a tower to hell, heaven. The suicide Islamic bombers think that if they kill enough of us Christians and our brother Judah, that they will go to heaven and have an eternity of virgins. That's a rude awakening. And even you can go to church all the time. You can't work your way. Works are important after salvation. Only the Lord Jesus paid our sin debt. So the woman at least is trying, but she's got the Bible awfully confused. Here's the deal. When the Bible is not in a Christian's hand, you don't know which way to go. You will try this and you will try that. You will listen to this person with a prophetic word. You will read this person's book. You will run hither, thither, and yon and go down rabbit trails until you run yourself out. The Word of God is what you need. The Word of God is what you need to get through this life and into the next one. Every Christian needs the Word of God. Not one verse and 3 points. Not a book about the book. Not one sermon. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. Book, chapter, verse, and line. This is how you make it. The Word heals you. The Word provides for you. The Word guides you. The Word protects you. And the Word saves you, because in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And we call Him Jesus.
Amen. For I will restore it to thee. Verse 4, yet he restored the silver unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founders.
The founders would be the silversmiths. So she says, now, won't you make me a graven image? Now, we're going to come back to graven image, because remember, we're talking about reforming the church. That's our assignment. Like a scroll is unfolded and said, reform the church.
Who made thereof a graven image.
Whoa.
And a molten image.
And a molten image. Now, where'd she get a molten image? She remembered reading or hearing the priest read about, in Exodus, how there was a molten image. But she didn't get the story right. See, this is where you've got to get the Word book, chapter, line by line. Not a verse here taken out of context. We've got so many lies and fables in the church because of that. It was true that Moses went up to Mount Sinai, and God, who is a consuming fire, with his finger, the mountain smoking, wrote the Ten Commandments and wrote the law. Moses came down to find Aaron the high priest and the children of Israel dancing and worshiping a golden calf. They had taken off their earrings and necklaces and jewelry, put them in a fire, and molded a golden calf, worshiping the money. So she's got a graven image, and she's got something to represent money. This is what I want you to build, son. This is what we'll do with the money. She remembered there was a molten image, but she's so far from God's word, she didn't know that's not what you do. It's kind of like people just love to say caught up in the air, but they don't know Ezekiel 13 that says, God says, I'm against those who teach my people to fly to save their souls. So you got to get it line by line in order.
And they were in the house of Micah.
Now, he put them all in the house. He can't call it the house of God. Called it the house of Micah.
Right. And the man Micah had a house of God.
But he wanted to call it the house of God. The book of Jeremiah and the book of Isaiah, God says, and I'm paraphrasing, you have a church on every corner. I call it a house of ill repute. Where is my word? Where is the complete book of Genesis on down through Revelation, book, chapter, verse, and line? You and your one verses and your books about the book and your little meetings about your thrills and your joys and your dreams. Where is the Word of God? No wonder you demon-filled church. No wonder you don't know how to live the life. No wonder you have no power. No wonder you just have no strength and no victory. No wonder you're so sad looking. Where is my Word?
We made an ephod and a teraphim.
Okay. Now, he's got a graven image. He's got a molten image. We're coming to this. So then he makes himself an ephod. An ephod, book of Exodus, is a priest's vest. Now, God did ordain that a real priest, one God is called. And you put it on, and it's got jewels on it to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And you go before the Lord, and you pray for those tribes. The priest's vest has a little pouch in it that contains an object that lights up. The object is called the Urim and the Thummim. And the priest adds God's direction. If God says yes, it lights up one way or lights up another way. Now, a true priest would have the vest of Jesus Christ on him. The vest represents that a true priest of God has the heart of God, and the Urim and the Thummim says a true priest is led by the Holy Spirit, who says, turn on a dime, and you turn on a dime. Okay, so he makes one. It's an empty suit. There's nobody to wear it. And what about the teraphims? A teraphim is a little god. Remember that Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel, stole the teraphim comes from her father Laban when she went to marry Jacob, and it ultimately resulted in her death. So what do we have here in this house of Micah, which he decides to call the house of the Lord? You see, no matter what the shingle on the door, if you do not have the house, the word of God, every word of God, man lives by every word of God, Matthew 4:4, it is not a house of God. And if you're not getting every word of God, you cannot live the Christian life. No wonder you're so depressed. No wonder you're so confused. No wonder you're there. You run hither, thither, and yonder. You call it church. Just because it says church, it isn't a church. It must have the word of God. That's foundational. Okay, let's look at it here. Now, what would be the graven image? The graven image would be the traditions of men which make void the word of God. The graven image would be that you are absolutely worship that denomination you're in. They're wonderful denominations, but you say, my grandfather went to this church, my mother went to this church, I'm going to go to this church. I have counseled people, I've explained something from the Bible with them reading it, they said, that's wonderful, I never knew that, thank you for telling me. And they said, but I'm going to go back to that church where I don't get that because my grandmother went there. You see, that's a graven image. So you need to pull that down. Pull down preconceived ideas. Now, I want to explain about that. I was a little girl, and I knew as a tiny little girl that my life was to be for God. And so I dedicated my life to God, and I was in a wonderful church. They really believed in reading the Bible. The Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. They did not know the mystery of God, but they did go a lot, book, chapter, verse, and line. So I had a solid rock, like built my house in that until I was 17 years old. Then I went to college, so I left them. And so a solid word of God. Read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. And I did that. But I knew there was more because I have gifts and callings, but I didn't know where to go to find it. So I studied and joined every Christian denomination, and I found some good things in most all of them. I went to one. It was very traditional. It was very beautiful. I liked that. I didn't learn any word because I was too busy trying to figure when to get up and get down. But I did do one thing. I genuflect. I bowed when I went to my seat. I do think that's a good thing. I do believe that when you come to this place, the presence of God is so powerful in here. I think it is very rude to come in here and not acknowledge God when you come in the door. In other words, if you were coming to somebody's house, you would not walk in the house without saying, hello there, homeowner. But so God is here. So I don't want you to do it because I say so. Scott comes in, he says, hallelujah anyway. In other words, God is here, and you don't say it for fun, but you should acknowledge it. See, to walk in when God is so powerful in this place and ignore him, had a hard week, just the bad traffic. No, no, no. You've come in the presence of God, so genuflect. So I like that part. But I had the Bible. They didn't have the Bible. The Bible people didn't genuflect. Then I went to one, and boy, did they have a good time. They were led by the Holy Spirit. They spoke the word of knowledge, the word of prophecy. They laid hands on the sick, and they recovered. They cast out demons. And sometimes one would say, thus saith the Lord for you. And I thought, you know, sometimes I feel I can do that kind of stuff too. And I liked them all. Here's the thing. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Reform the church. Don't let any denomination keep you. What if I had done? If some of my family got mad at me, they thought I was an infidel. They said, you know, you could come back, be baptized and repent, and you could just come back to this church. They thought the denomination. No, no, no. I wouldn't be talking to you. I wouldn't be this happy, free butterfly that I am now. I wouldn't know the truth that I know. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, my Lord, there's so much more. So what we do in Trumpet of Truth, we just put it all together. And to reform the church, we want to clean out the lies. We want to get all of that out, traditions of men, and put in the good stuff. Now, okay, so what would be the molten image? That would be the churches that beg for money all the time. I want to say to any of you who are planning to go into the ministry, go into a ministry, if there's too much begging for money, forget it. I never have passed a basket in my life, and I never will. I totally trust God. Don't you ever look to one human being to support your ministry. But what you do, you're in bondage to that person. If people want to give, great. But I tell you what I learned. I give. I just give all that's in my bank account, and somehow God gives it back. So see, I've learned the secret. And so this begging for money, let's take the golden calf out there. Many people do go in the ministry for that. Okay, what about the priest fest? Only God can clothe you with that anointing. Man doesn't say you're anointed. That priest fest, the human and thuman, being led by the Spirit, this comes from God. Privately, morning after morning in my life, holding up my hands to God, putting Him first, He began to pick me up and pour this power into me. He taught me. He began to say the words through me. It is God that paints Himself on you. Nobody's to choose that. What about the teraphim? The main little gods that Christians carry with them, even into the worship service, is me, myself, and I. I love all of you so much, and one of the great joys of my life is to help people. I understand your pain. I've had a life of pain, a life of grief, a life of sorrow, and I've learned how to care about other people. I literally feel it for you, and I will pray for you, and you need something, I will pray for you. But you must understand that Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins, not so you could get a new car, a new job, or a new mate. You understand? It's not the stuff. So when you come in, you position your heart genuflex to God. And you hear every word of God. And then the one up there, man or woman, is filled and anointed by the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit moves. When that Holy Spirit moves, healing does take place. And miracles do occur. And words of prophecy and words of wisdom. And you don't have to fight it. It just flows. It just flows. And then you die to yourself. You're no longer carrying around me. I'm all about me. I can't wait to get to church so I can talk about me. I can't wait to get to church so that little group will feel sorry for me. I want to go out to lunch and hold that person's hand so I can say, my troubles, my troubles, my troubles. Oh, for God's sake, you're not to stay a baby. That is so selfish. Be careful. You're not your own God.
And consecrated one of his who became his priest.
Well, he needed a priest, so he said, one of my sons, you can be the priest. So keep it in the family. I guess that son, can you imagine him preaching his sermons? Maybe so his daddy get drunk or something. He couldn't even preach to him, could he? So anyway, they got some kind of a church in their house. Now, there's nothing wrong in having a church in your house if it's the house of the Word. See, it's Bethel in Hebrew, house of God. Well, who is God? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if it's a church, it's a house of the Word. If you don't have the Word, I didn't say one verse and 3 points, not a book about the book, not somebody's book that wrote it. They were great. I write too. You'll never see me take any of my writings and teach them. You'll never see me in any service take another person's book. That's actually blasphemy. Nothing is to be exalted above the Word of God.
Verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
So as you can see, the mother here is trying to hold on to God, but she's terribly mixed up. And Micah is just terribly mixed up. And yet, they aren't evil people. They want God. They just don't have a leader. As Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you unto my wings as a hen doth gather her chicks, and you would not.
7. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite.
Ah, Levite. The priest tribe is Levite. You can be a Levite of the tribe of Levi. Remember, there are 12 tribes of Abraham. You can be a Levite and not be a priest, but you can't be a God-appointed priest unless you're a Levite. That was God's law. So now, look on the scene. We got a Levite here who's living over here in Bethlehem, Judah.
Who sojourned there. Verse 8, and the man departed out from the city of Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place.
He didn't have a job. All the churches, the temples were closed. And now the silversmiths were busy making those graven images and molten calves. But there was no place for a priest. and he needed a pulpit. And beside, God had ordained that the priest was to be taken care of with food and clothing and housing and nourishment and money and property and so forth. So he was looking for a job. Now let me put it this way right here. He's looking for his place. All of you who are called, chosen, elected, know that there's the right place for you to do God's work. Everybody agree? You know that.
Yeah.
There is that place. Here's how you do. It worked for me. It'll work for you. All you have to do, as soon as you know God has chosen you, you don't start saying, "What's my place? What's my place? What's my place?" Right where you are is where you are. Right then, once you make that commitment, that golden pathway opens up. You put one foot in, and you do the best you can with what you have, where you are, for Jesus every day. Everybody you meet, your mission field. Everybody needs the Lord. Everybody needs the Word. And so you take it moment by moment, moment by moment, living for Jesus. You're not thinking about your platform or what anybody says or if you get any money. All you're doing is you are being all that you can be at that particular moment. And then one day, when you are out there, running hither, thither, and yon down rabbit trails and crying, suddenly you realize on the day by day serving the Lord truly with all your heart that you have walked onto your place. You are in your platform. That's how it works. It starts with the first step, the first day, the first commitment. It's not even hard.
And it came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah.
House of Micah was probably pretty famous. They didn't have motels in those days, so actually, if someone was hospital, they would go and stay there. But he had heard about that house of Micah. You better believe he heard about those teraphims and so forth.
Verse 9, and Micah said unto him, "Whence comest thou?" And he said unto him, "I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I might find a place."
Can you imagine Micah's eyes? Dear God, the camels have arrived. Here is a Levite priest. Oh, man. I bet Micah says, "Boy, God has surely forgiven me for stealing all that money from my mama."
Verse 10, and Micah said unto him, "Go with me and be unto me a father and a priest."
The father means a spiritual advisor. In other words, teach me God's word. That's what a spiritual advisor. Any counseling you go to, if you don't get it from the word of God, you don't get counseling. The word of God is to be the counselor.
And I will give you 10 shekels of silver by the year.
That's a lot of money. I'm going to give you this money.
And a suit of apparel.
I'll give you a suit of apparel, a change of clothes, one a year. Now, the Hebrew says actually there were two outfits there. In those days, because everything was so sparse, and the Israelites were so oppressed, to just have one good suit of apparel, you were considered really blessed. But he had two. Wear one and wash one.
And thy victuals.
And your food. Food, lodging, some new duds once a year, and some spending money. All you have to do is come on here and be my priest.
And so the Levite went in. 11. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man. And the young man was likened to him as one of his sons.
They got along really good. Everybody's great. I don't think the Levite's calling out any sins or anything here.
12. And Micah consecrated the Levite.
He wasn't supposed to do that either. If the Levite was real, God consecrates you, God ordains you. Now, I know we have services sometimes to honor people like that, but no denomination, no man, no woman does the choosing. It is God who wraps himself around you and paints himself on you, the priest's vest, and puts that heart of Jesus in you and that supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. Only God can do that, and it's his choice to do it.
And the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. 13. Then said Micah, now I know that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite unto my priest.
He thought every camel in town had come. The camels are coming. They would bring the treasures. I mean, boy, have I got it made. God is going to be so good to me. I've got an actual Levite here, he says. Oh, my goodness. So we'll start right there next time. We're not through with Micah, and we're going to find out how to get these graven images emptied out. I do pray that you are blessed. Well, it's time now for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. And I want to welcome the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. That was a great word. I didn't want to stop.
I know, you want to go on.
I know, you do.
I did too. I kind of hate to stop in the middle of the story.
Okay, our first question. Somebody wants to know, did Samson commit suicide?
No, Samson did not commit suicide. Samson gave his life for his people. He's a type of Jesus. Jesus died and shed his precious blood so that we could have remission of sins. And Samson, actually at his death, all of the government was on the rooftop there, and they died. And so when the leaders got killed, then that meant the other side won. And so he set them free. So he's a hero. And actually, Paul mentions him in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame. So no, he did a good thing.
Okay, our next question. Somebody wants to know, was Cain a giant?
Cain was a giant. In Genesis chapter 6, it talks about the fallen angels marrying the human women, and they were not supposed to be. Satan sent them in, and the children were, the Hebrew word is Geba, are giants. And so since Cain is the child of the Satan who beguiled Eve, Paul says, exopati, holy seduced her there. Cain is the product. He would have to be a giant because Satan is that cherub or angel. And so, yes, he would be a giant. Perhaps you've heard of Sargon the Magnificent. I have that book. He was a descendant of Cain, and he looked a lot like Cain, very tall and magnificent looking. The descendants of Cain now, the Kenites, have shrunk a lot. Their dad, back over there in the garden, did the devil is death. The devil's name is death. Death, whose name is the devil. And so death has a way. They've shrunk them. They're much shorter now.
Yeah, he shrivels them up.
He shriveled them up.
Yeah. Okay, our last question. What does Shoshana mean in Psalm 69?
Psalm 69. Shoshana is the Hebrew word. It's very beautiful. It means lilies in the springtime, referring to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Passover lamb. Well, you know, David left his stuff in the... Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. Let's welcome Scott's stuff.
The days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision, nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. Ezekiel 12:28.
That is so great. Right along with the lesson there, the fables in the church are going to be cleaned out, like the lifeline proverb. Oh, that's beautiful. Maybe we can weave that in next time. Thank you, Scott Merson. That is so great. For any of you who are not sure you're saved, if you will, with all of your heart, pray after me. God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I ask that Jesus' blood,
I ask that Jesus' blood,
wash away all my sins.
Wash away all my sins.
Save me.
Save me.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To increase the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
To increase the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. I invite you to call and leave a message and tell me you were saved. By the way, for those of you who've been trying to call me and having trouble, my phone is working again. I changed carriers, and there was about 5 days there that was trouble there, getting it going again. But it's okay now, so please feel free to call me. Let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus Christ, I ask, please, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in your wings. This that I'm feeling in my chest is in someone's chest there, right there in the lungs. Let the congestion out there in cyberspace, you know who you are. The lungs be breathing, the congestion be gone, the blockage be gone, clearing the passages there, the nasal passages and the lungs, in Jesus' mighty name. The thyroid be healed in Jesus' name. All brains be healed. Cysts be removed in Jesus' name. Pancreatic cancer be gone. Fibroids be gone. Tumors be gone. Polyps be gone in Jesus' name. Let there be a miracle healing of you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, inside the bone marrow, in the joint marrow. Let the joy of the Lord Jesus fill you with his love medicine. Let the love, that love is laughter, be the best medicine you could ever have. Fill you with the medicine of joy. Bless you in the Lord. Sent his word and healed you with Jesus' stripes. You are healed. Headaches stop. Migraines be gone in Jesus' name. Blind eyes see. Deaf ears hear. Lame legs walk. Arthritis be gone. Backache, spine, pelvis. The nerve endings on the legs there be healed in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. We thank you. We give you praise and glory. Now, if you were healed, you want to call and leave that message also. It's time now for the love line of the week, from God's heart to my heart to your heart. Jesus' blood is supernatural. Jesus' blood is supernatural. Thank you so much for listening. I do pray you are blessed. Remember this when you think of Jesus. His name is Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Don't forget Thursday, 12 noon to 2 p.m., Sundays, 5 p.m., Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. And remember this about Jesus, that he is the tree of life. He died for you. He loves you. And he wants you to go and tell. He wants you not to keep this, but to go out there and win many souls to him. So until next time, this is Sherry Medlock and my twin friend Scott Merson saying we love you. God bless you. God keep you. Sound the alarm and go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
side in his hand.
And if you ask for love, love pours to them like a ray of light, like a raging blaze.
We didn't know what love was till he came, and he gave love a face, and he gave love a name, and he gave love away like the sky gives the rain and sun. We were looking for heroes, he came looking for the lost. We were searching for glory, and he showed us a cross. Now we know what love is, 'cause he loves us.
All the way to kingdom
come,
all the way to kingdom come. Life is a mystery, it's a mystery we're all living. This world is so fragile and we're so frail, so frail.
By faith and not by sight, for you. we're living all for you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. We live by faith and not by sight for you.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
Some hope in what their eyes can see. We hope in the glorious sunset, in the risen and returning King. Some are chasing the treasures of their